This evening, I wanted to begin a new study on Wednesday evenings, and we're going to be looking at the attributes of God. The attributes of God. One of the things that we need to look at is the importance of knowing who God is. Who is the God that we serve? We live in an age in which the world wants to redefine the God of the Bible. And in many cases, Christians who are biblically illiterate do not know the character of God. It's important that we understand God's character and know who He is, because we are to reflect this character that He possesses. He redeemed us to save us from the world and its lusts and sin, and to bring us into fellowship with Him. And part of the reason that He created us was that we might bring glory to His name. And part of the way that we bring glory to His name is to reflect the character of the one who created and redeemed us. This evening we want to look at knowing God. And I want to look at some different verses that deal with the topic tonight. And that is the solitariness of God. The fact that God does not need anyone. God is complete in and of Himself. This is something that's very important for us to understand, because it helps us to see that God is God. And we want to look at this topic this evening. If you would begin with me by turning to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 through 24, as we begin our discussion this evening. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 through 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We are not to glory in the things that we possess or have, but we are rather to glory in the Lord and bring glory to His name. In other words, what is glory? Glory is exalting, uplifting. It is magnifying. Those are the things that we are to do with the character of God. If you would turn with me to the book of Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 6. Verse 3, Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, we read the following. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain in the earth. The Lord is the one that goes before us. The Lord is the one, as this verse says, as the latter and former rain. What is the latter and former rain that Hosea is speaking of? He is speaking of the blessing that would come upon the nation of Israel that would enable it to be fruitful with its harvest. Its crops would not grow if it didn't have the former rain to germinate the seeds and the latter rain to enable the fruit to come to fruition. God is like that in our lives. If the Lord is not there, we will not understand our need for spiritual salvation and coming to an understanding of God, nor will we be regenerated if we don't experience His convicting hand in our lives or His illuminating power in our hearts, nor will we come to grow spiritually if it is not for His hand of blessing upon us. So we see that the Lord is the one that blesses man, and the Lord is the one that enables us to even have a relationship with Him. It's important that you understand who God is and what our relationship is to Him. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, as we look at this verse this evening. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall He corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. What does he say here? What enables us to gain strength? What enables us to stand? What enables us to accomplish the purposes that God sets forth before us to accomplish? We need to know God. That's what Daniel says. The man who knows God shall do mighty things. Why? Because he shall know the one who gives him his strength, who enables him to accomplish the purposes he has set forth for him to accomplish. And he knows the God who is the one who is in charge of all. So we want to begin to look at the attributes of God that we may understand who God is. First of all, I want us to look at the fact that we need to meditate on God's character. We need to meditate on God's character. What does meditate mean? It means to think, actively think upon the character of God. Meditation is not Eastern mysticism where you empty your mind and go into an altered state and wait for some spirit to come and talk to you. Rather, the biblical concept of meditation is to be actively involved in thinking, on musing, that is, to actively involved in discerning what the Word of God is saying, to think upon God's character, to meditate upon it. What are some of the things that we are to meditate upon? First of all, I want you to understand that God should be awe-inspiring in our lives. He should be awe-inspiring. As you look at the fact that God created all things and think upon His creation, one looks and we see that of the vast wisdom and knowledge of God. If you just stop and think of all the different systems in the world and the universe that must interact and work together, it just boggles one mind. I don't know if you've ever just sat and thought about that, about the creation of God, the handiwork of God, the intelligence of God in creating all things. You look at man and how that they create some machines and how they put things together, and they do it by trial and error, and it takes a number of times at working, and then eventually they get something to work, but it doesn't quite work. I don't know if you've ever had an automobile. You know what I'm talking about. It seems like they're always going into the mechanic for something. And they've been building cars now for over 100 years. Yet we can't quite seem to get them so that they work perfectly. But yet if you look at our bodies and how wonderfully and majestically they're made, and how right now we can look at the creation, and there's much to be said in the news about the fact that we have global warming and greenhouse gases and all this. Yet you look at the world, and God made it in a manner in which it can cleanse itself. I was reading and I was studying, and I saw that one volcanic eruption puts more hydrocarbons into the air than all the automobiles that have ever been driven by man put into the air. When Mount Vesuvius erupted, Mount Vesuvius changed the climate of the earth for 2 years because of all of the hydrocarbons and the gases, as well as the cloud of dust that was put around the earth. Yet today, we don't have that dust and ash and clouds, and nor those gases impacting our climate. The earth cleansed itself. God created and put into place systems and means by which the earth would take care of itself. The universe functions properly. And we see that the only problems we have were created and brought into the world because of sin. This should make us inspired and in awe of God. And we as Christians should be that way. The second thing is, that His character, if we examine His character, not only should it make us in awe of Him, but it should provoke worship in our hearts. And if you look at one of the reasons that I believe that there is not proper worship nor respect and awe of the Lord today in the Church of Jesus Christ, is because people do not meditate nor think upon the character of God and understand who He is. And so we want to do that as we look at His character. We want to look at the fact of His, in looking and examining His character, we want to see what is revealed to us in Scripture about three things. We want to look at His being. Who is He? Who is the God that we love and serve? Who is the God of the Scriptures? And who does He say He is? The second thing, we want to look at His nature. What is the nature of this God? It's important that we understand this, that we understand God's not only His being, but His nature. And then finally, in order to understand these things, we're going to be looking at His attributes. If you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. And as we look at this verse, it will help us to understand this. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. So here it's talking about the fact, who is like God? Because He is glorious in holiness, speaking of His character. He is fearful in praises, speaking of His attributes, and doing wonders, speaking of His acts. This is the God we serve. And like Moses is recording here in the book of Exodus, as he's speaking of the God of Israel, the true and the living God, this is the one that we want to know. We begin in Genesis chapter 1:1. As the Word begins to reveal to us, at the beginning of the Scripture, God reveals to us about Him. The first thing that we want to understand and why God needs nothing and needs no one to be God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, what do we know from this verse? What do we know from this verse? The fact that there is no heaven, no earth, no angels, no universe, no plants, no animals. There was nothing but God. Now, I don't know about you, but this blows my mind. To stop and think that there was nothing but God, and yet God was self-contained, He was needed nothing, yet He willfully chose to create. And we need to understand that. You see, one of the things that impacts our view of God and His vastness and who He is the fact that we somehow think that He needed to create, or that maybe there was something there besides God. The Scriptures tell us in the beginning was God, nothing else. And He created, and He created. He brought these things into being. He spoke, and they came into existence. And this begins to help us to understand the power of God's Word. And if you look at the power of God's Word and how that impacts our life, and it impacts the ability that we have to share with other people, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is powerful. It's more powerful than a two-edged sword. It's cutting asunder. It convicts of sin. It heals the soul. It transforms the life. This is the very same Word of God that is the Lord Jesus Christ. John tells us that He is the Word. This is His authority, and this is who He is. But He was alone. He needed nothing. There was no heaven, no earth, no angels, no universe, no plants, no animals, no man. And God did not need us. There was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were complete, and they were perfect in love and perfect in truth before anything was created. God was self-contained, self-sufficient, self-satisfied, in need of nothing. And it's important to understand that. God did not need us. Why is it important that you understand that? Because when you begin to understand that, it begins to give you a glimpse into the depth of God's love for us. In that He who did not need us, yet chose to create us. He who did not need us as any mark of His perfection or character, yet willfully chose to allow us to possess His character, in that He created us in His image to reflect His character as a mark of the depth of His love and wisdom. And it just shows how amazing the God is that we serve. God's glory is not segmented, God's glory is not augmented nor diminished by his creation. In other words, God's glory isn't dependent on his creation. God's glory is totally dependent on himself, on who he is. It's reflected in his creation, but it's not made bigger by his creation, nor is it diminished by his creation, but rather it reflects his glory. And that's an important thing for us to understand. God does not need us to become bigger or to become more God. God does not diminish by who we are. Even when we are sinners, it doesn't diminish who God is. But instead, why were we created? As I mentioned at the beginning, we were created to reflect his glory, to reflect him, not to make him bigger or more God, not to make him less God, but to reflect the fact that he is God. And that is why we were created. His glory, power, majesty, wisdom, knowledge, love, beauty, and mercy are all eternal. They've always existed because he's always existed. His character has always been there. It didn't all of a sudden, when he created the world and created the universe, he began to possess these characteristics which he didn't have before. They've always been there, because he's always been perfect in all of these things he has possessed. The third thing I want you to see is that God is under no constraint, was under no constraint to create. God was under no constraint to create. He did not have to do it. Just as if God was under no constraint to save mankind, he didn't have to do it. And this is important to understand, that God chose. He chose to do so. Why? For his purposes. And to show forth his glory. His creative power was revealed, and his creative acts were done for his good pleasure, the scriptures tell us. If you will turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. We read the following: "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after" what? "The counsel of his own will." It wasn't due to, he said, oh, he's wringing his hands, what am I going to do? No, it was his counsel, the counsel of his will, that he created all things. It was for his purposes that all things were created. His creative power was revealed, and his creative acts were done for his good pleasure after the counsel of his own will. The fourth thing that I want you to see, because of this, he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. You read the following: "Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethaniah said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all the blessing and praise.'" These men who were Levites were called the nation of Israel to stand up and what? Praise God. Why should he be praised? Because of all the things we've already been talking about this evening. He does not need man. He needs nothing, yet he chose to break in and create us, to redeem us, to have fellowship with us, and to reflect his character in our lives. He is worthy of our praise. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. We read the following. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is why he is worthy of our praise, because he has called us to be his children through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's worthy of our praise. And so as we come and meet together as God's people, we should come meditating on his character, thinking of his vastness and bigness, thinking of the fact that he needs nothing, yet he desires to have fellowship with us and sent his son that we might experience that. He is worthy of our praise, and he's worthy of our worship. Fifthly, it is impossible to bring God under obligation to any man, angel, or part of his creation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11.